أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we are on page number 66 of the Quran, which is Surah Ali Imran, the fourth juz. Inshallah ta'ala, in this episode and then for a number of forthcoming episodes, we will now begin one of the major themes and subject matters of this surah, Surah Ali Imran, and that is the Battle of Uhud. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the Quran has given to us lessons and benefits that we can derive from some of the most major encounters that took place in the lifetime of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his 23 years, his mission of 23 years of prophethood, he had a number of major encounters with the non-Muslims, whether it's the Quraysh predominantly or other non-Muslims that the Muslims had to face in terms of being on the battlefield and in terms of the various expeditions and wars and battles that they fought in. And what Allah Azza wa Jalla often does with those major battles, for example, like the Battle of Badr and the Battle of Uhud and Ahzab and Hudaybiyah, these major encounters that took place, the Prophet Allah Azza wa Jalla throughout the Quran in different surahs, he gives to us lessons and benefits that we can derive from them. And that's because they contain a great deal of benefits for the believers. So from amongst those surahs and from amongst those battles that took place in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that holds and contains great lessons for the Muslim Ummah, is the Battle of Uhud. Now the Battle of Uhud, as we know, was the second major battle of Islam to take place, the first one being the Battle of Badr. The Battle of Badr will be mentioned in a later surah in the Quran. And so that's something which is also going to be expanded upon by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is done in a later surah of the Quran. The Battle of Uhud, which is the second major battle that took place in Islam, which is in the third year of the Hijrah. And just to give a brief overview, as we know, in the Battle of Badr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims defeated the Quraysh army, despite being vastly outnumbered. And Allah azza wa jalla on that day gave the Muslims a great victory, and many of the leaders of Quraysh died in that battle. From that period onwards, or for that next year, from the second to the third year of the Hijrah, the Quraysh were then plotting their revenge, because this was a great deal of embarrassment for them. It was something which is humiliating for Quraysh, which was the biggest, most major tribe in Arabia. It was humiliating for them to be overpowered and defeated by what was a small group of Muslims. And so the Quraysh were plotting their revenge in order to win back their honor, in order to win back and save some face amongst the Arabs and so on. And so they did this for a period of a number of months, until in the following year, the third year of the Hijrah, they decided that they had enough power to come and to attack the Muslims in the city of Medina. They would bring the battle to the Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard of that army to come, he gathered the companions and he sought their advice. And a number of the younger companions and those who hadn't participated in the Battle of Badr in the previous year, they advised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he should go out with the army and face them on an open battlefield. It is said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself favored to stay within the city of Medina and to defend it from within. But these companions were very passionate in terms of pushing forward their point of view and their argument. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went into his house, he donned his armor, and he came out. And by that time, those companions had regretted the forcefulness with which they had mentioned their opinions. And so they said, O Messenger of Allah, we didn't want to force our opinion upon you, but rather we will do as you please. The Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it is not befitting for a Prophet of Allah, once he has put on his battle armor, that he should take it off until Allah Azza wa Jalla has decided between him and his enemies. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam set out with the companions to the plain battlefield of Uhud, and it is called Uhud because it is by the mountain of Uhud, which is that range of mountains, that mountain range that surrounds one whole side of the city of Medina. until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came there. And I think most people, if you've had the opportunity to go for Umrah or for Hajj, you've probably visited that place. And for those of you that haven't had that opportunity, may Allah azza wa jal give it to you and grant it to you. It is something which maybe you've seen on the internet or on Google and so on. And so therefore that's where the two armies met, and that is where this battle will take place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He often does in the Quran, doesn't give us a play-by-play as to what took place on the battlefield. This isn't a historical accounting or a retelling of what took place on the battle. This is a drawing of lessons and benefits. It is a drawing of principles that the Muslim can benefit from, not only for those companions that were present at that time, but for every Muslim that then follows them in terms of the principles that one can take from this battle. And so therefore what took place in the battle in terms of its details, in terms of the different things that took place, in terms of how and how things unfolded and why they unfolded, those things you find in the books of Seerah. And we will mention some of them as we go along, as and when it's pertinent to our discussion. But this again isn't a retelling of the battle from a Seerah point of view, in terms of this is how the companions came out, and this is how they set up, and this is what the Prophet ﷺ instructed, and so on. It's not necessarily done in that way in the Quran. Rather, what Allah Azza wa Jal wants us to do is to benefit from the lessons. We know, therefore, in essence, that the Muslims on that day suffered great casualties. A number of the companions, some 70-odd, were martyred, not least of whom included in that group is the likes of Hamza radiallahu an ibn Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the likes of Mus'ab ibn Umair, and many of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam were martyred on that day. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself was injured, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam suffered blood loss on that day. And so therefore this is something which Allah azza wa jalla will now speak about in this surah in terms of its importance. One of the other questions that then remains is why in this particular surah? We've said a number of times before, the surah to Ali Imran speaks about a great deal of the principles of how the Muslim should behave and act when it comes to their outward situation. So surah Al-Baqarah is a lot about Iman, it's a lot about the internal Muslim dynamic in terms of how they should be amongst themselves and within themselves. Surah Ali Imran is about the Muslim dynamic as it comes to with the greater society, with the greater community that the Muslims are a part of. And one of those things that therefore takes place within those greater communities is conflicts at times and at places. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here some of the lessons that we can draw from that. So even though we're on page number 66, there was one verse that was left from the end of page number 65, and that was verse 121, which is where the story really begins. And so we left that verse so that it could be included within this particular passage. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins or says at that within that verse, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذ غدوت من أهلك تبوئ المؤمنين مقاعد للقتال وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. O Prophet of Allah, remember when you left your home at dawn, to assign battle positions to the believers. Indeed, Allah hears and knows everything. So this is essentially the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaving in the morning with the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of the Battle of Uhud, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam therefore arrived at Uhud before the army of Quraysh. And that makes sense because the Muslims were traveling a relatively short distance away from the city of Medina in those days, because now Medina has extended a great deal and Uhud is essentially part of the city of Medina. But in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, Medina was very small. And so Uhud would have been well out of the city. And so they came to that place before the Quraysh army arrived, and the Prophet ﷺ was able to essentially set out his army as he wanted and place his soldiers where he wanted. And one of the things that shows is the intelligence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his military skill, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam essentially had the Muslim army between the two major or the two mountains on that battlefield, the one being the mountain range of Uhud, and the second being what we would know as Jabal al-Rumah. Today it is called Jabal al-Rumah, or the mountain of the archers, upon which the Prophet ﷺ placed a number of archers, a few dozen, that they would stay there, and they would protect the rear flank of the Muslim army. and then behind him the Prophet ﷺ had the city of Medina, and in front of him would have been the Quraysh army. So the Quraysh army could only fight and attack the Muslims head on. They couldn't flank the Muslims by going around their back. They couldn't attack from the sides because there's mountains on either side. They couldn't come from their rear because that's where the city of Medina is. And so the Prophet ﷺ set out his army and his soldiers in the way that he wanted. And one of the things that we know that he said to those people and those companions upon the mountain of the archers is that they shouldn't leave from that post until and unless they heard explicitly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is essentially the beginning of the battle. Wa idh ghadawta min ahlik. Remember when you left your home, your family at dawn, and you came out in the early morning to set the battle positions of the believers. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse 122, idh hamma ta'ifatan minkum an tafshala wallahu waliyuhuma wa'ala Allahi falyatawakkalil mu'minun. And remember when two groups of you were about to lose heart and Allah protected them and let the believers put their trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. One of the things that happened at the beginning of the battle, it is said that the Muslim army numbered around 1,000. 1,000. The Quraysh army would be approximately 2 to 3 times their size. So this 1,000 army, it is said that as they were going towards Uhud, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, who is the leader of the hypocrites, he returned more or less with a third of the army. And he said, why should we kill ourselves and our children? Over what? What are we fighting over? And so because he didn't have Islam in his heart, it wasn't something which he believed in, he didn't accept the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a messenger of Allah, he was always looking for ways to undermine him and to undermine the Muslims. And so he returned with a lot of his followers, it is said approximately a third of the army. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that from amongst those people who attempted to return were two tribes from the tribes of the Ansar, Banu Salima and Banu Haritha. Banu Haritha and Banu Salima are two tribes of the Ansar. And they were influenced heavily by the speech and by the words of this man, Abdullah ibn Ubay, the leader of the hypocrites. But Allah Azza wa Jal caused their hearts to remain firm. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّهُمَا. And Allah protected them, meaning protected them from fleeing from the battlefield. And so Allah Azza wa Jal saved these two tribes, Banu Salima and Banu Haritha. And that is why one of the companions, the Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, who is from the tribe of Banu Salima himself, he says that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed this verse concerning us, meaning our tribes. And I would never have wished that Allah hadn't revealed it. Because Allah Azza wa Jal then says within this verse, وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّهُمَا. Allah is your protector. Allah protected you. And that is something which is an accolade for this. One of the lessons, therefore, and the benefits that we take is that in times of hardship, in times of extreme difficulty, to have strong resolve, determination, steadfastness is from the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever that trial and hardship may be, it may be with your own family, it may be of a personal nature because of your health or your wealth or something else, whatever that difficulty and hardship is, to be able to remain steadfast and to have that resolve and determination, it is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jal therefore says here in this verse that there were people from amongst the companions, Muslims, people who were mu'mineen, believers. At that point, they were almost about to leave and abscond from the army. And Allah Azza wa Jal kept them firm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those people who trust in Him, Allah Azza wa Jal will protect them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 123, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّهُ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah helped you at the day of Badr when you were very weak. So be mindful of Allah, meaning fear Him, so that you may be grateful. Allah Azza wa Jal then, in the middle of this story of the Battle of Uhud, Allah Azza wa Jal gives the reminder to the believers of what took place in the Battle of Badr. That even though this one third of the army is now returning back to Medina, they're essentially leaving an army. So if you're in an army and you're already outmatched, outnumbered by 2-3 to 1, and now a third of your army is saying, actually, we don't even want to fight, we're going to go back to our homes, that leaves you extremely small and weak in numbers. Allah Azza wa Jal says, but for the believers, that doesn't make a difference. Because Allah Azza wa Jal is reminding the believers that on the day of the Battle of Badr, when the Muslims again were outnumbered 3-1 or so, Allah Azza wa Jal gave them victory, even though they were weak and few in number. So therefore, remember what Allah Azza wa Jal did and remember His help that He gave to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expands upon that hope. Then in the next couple of verses, in verse 124, Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِذْ تَقُولُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَلَنْ يَكْفِيَكُمْ أَنْ يُمِدَّكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِثَلَاثَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُنْزَلِينَ. And remember when you said to the believers, will you be satisfied if your Lord reinforces you by sending down 3,000 angels? So Allah Azza wa Jal helped the people of Badr on that day, who even though in their numbers of humans in the army were few in number, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped them with His divine aid and His divine victory. And from that divine aid and help that Allah Azza wa Jal sent down was multitudes, thousands of angels from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse 125, Allah Azza wa Jal then says, Bala, إن تصبروا وتتقوا ويأتوكم من فورهم هذا يمددكم ربكم بخمسة آلاف من الملائكة مسومين. While if you are steadfast and mindful of Allah, then your Lord will reinforce you with 5,000 sweeping angels if the enemy should suddenly attack you. Indeed, Allah has arranged it so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore says that on the day of Badr, these thousands of angels came to help the Muslims. Allah Azza wa Jal sent them His divine aid and His divine help subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the scholars have this discussion in the books of tafsir and outside of the books of tafsir as to whether these thousands of angels were literally angels that came to help on the battlefield in terms of they were fighting alongside the Muslims and killing the Quraysh and the non-Muslims, or whether it refers to Allah Azza wa Jal sending these thousands of angels in order to make the hearts of the believers steadfast and firm, to give them that resolve and strength that they would be able to overcome those enemies and those people who were there on the opposite side on the day of the Battle of Badr. And Allah Azza wa Jal then says in verse 126 to show that one of the reasons that Allah Azza wa Jal sent these angels is as a means of contentment and resolve and steadfastness for the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى لَكُمْ وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُكُمْ بِهِ وَمَا النَّصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. Allah Azza wa Jal sent it for you as a message of hope, for you meaning the believers, to put your hearts at rest. Indeed, help only comes from Allah, the Almighty, the All-Wise. So Allah Azza wa Jal sent these angels that would come and give the Muslims that contentment that they would need, that peace that they would need in their hearts, that resolve, that steadfastness that they would need in order to be able to overcome this vast army that was before them. And that is from the greatest of lessons that a person can take in terms of this Battle of Uhud and the Battle of Badr. And that is that in times of difficulty, in times of hardship, for the believer who turns to Allah, trusts upon Allah Azza wa Jal, has certainty in Allah's promise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to them tuma'nina. Allah sends upon them tranquility, and Allah Azza wa Jal sends upon them rest and ease that allows them to then have the steadfastness and the resolve to be able to overcome the challenges and the difficulties that they face. Allah Azza wa Jal then says in verse 127 of this surah, لِيَقْطَعَ طَرَفًا مِّنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْ يَكْبِتَهُمْ فَيَنْقَلِبُوا خَائِبِينَ. And in order to cut off the flanks of the disbelievers' army and frustrate them to make them withdraw in total defeat. On the day of the Battle of Badr, as we will come on to inshallah ta'ala in more detail when we come on to that particular surah that speaks about this battle in more detail. But on the day of the Battle of Badr, Allah Azza wa Jal gave victory to the mu'mineen, to the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory despite their very small numbers. And despite this being the first time that the Muslims and the non-Muslim armies were meeting under the leadership of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Azza wa Jal gave the believers steadfastness. He gave them resolve. He gave them His divine aid and help, even though they were few in number. And not only were they few in number, but in terms of their equipment, in terms of their weaponry, in terms of their armor, in terms of the animals that they had at their disposal to ride into battle and war, despite those being very little and few, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them that victory. And Allah Azza wa Jal sent to them, as He tells us here, angels that would come and give them steadfastness and help, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give them victory. And so that is from the beauty of Allah Azza wa Jal's Iman, from the greatest blessings and fruits of Iman, of tawakkul, of yaqeen, of loving and fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that Allah azza wa jal comes to your aid in times of need. And so that is why the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember Allah in times of ease, and Allah azza wa jal will remember you in times of difficulty. And so that is what the believer constantly strives and struggles to do, to constantly be in the mode of worshipping Allah azza wa jal, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming closer to Allah azza wa jal, even and especially in times of ease, because as will inevitably happen to each and every single one of us, when those times of difficulty then come upon us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's aid will come with it. Allah azza wa jal then says in verse number 128, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٌ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يُعَذِّبَهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. Whether Allah relents towards them or punishes them, it is not for you to decide, O Prophet of Allah, indeed they are wrongdoers. This verse 128 now gives us another lesson. And again, as we said, the way that the story of Uhud and the Battle of Uhud is mentioned in Surah At-Tuhar Imran, it is not mentioned in a chronological order that Allah Azza wa Jalla says that this is how it began and this is lesson number one. And then this happened and that's lesson number two. And then the third thing happened, that's lesson number three, until we get to the end of what took place on that day. But rather Allah Azza wa Jalla extracts principles from different parts and different times of the battle. This verse 128 speaks about something which happened towards the end of the battle. Towards the end of the battle. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we know, on the day of the Battle of Badr, he himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam was injured. One of his teeth were broken. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam was injured, and his head and blood flew from his body sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so in some narrations, as is mentioned in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a statement at the end of the battle, and he said, how can a nation possibly be successful when they harm and injure their prophet and they break his teeth? How can these people ever be successful when this is the way that they treat their prophet? And Allah Azza wa Jal said, it is not up to you, O Messenger of Allah, whether Allah repents upon them, meaning accepts their Islam, or whether he chooses to punish them, meaning some of those people will eventually have guidance. Even though and despite what they have done on this day, they will have guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah azza wa jal guided a number of them, as we know. Abu Sufyan would become a Muslim, radiyallahu anhu, towards the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khalid ibn al-Walid, who was the leader of the cavalry of that day, he's the one who, when those companions left the mountain of the archers, or the archers mountain, and they came down and they began to take the war booty that was on the battlefield, he was the one who regrouped with his cavalry, saw that those archers had left their post, came and attacked the few remaining there, killed them, and then was able to flank the Muslims from their rear and attack them from their rear. And when he was able to attack them, the other Quraysh saw what he was doing, they regrouped and they attacked the Muslims from the front. So now the Muslims are the ones who were trapped on that day. They had the Quraysh behind them and in front of them, two mountains on either side, and they're essentially being penned in. And that is when we had a number of the companions martyred. That is when we had those rumors that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself had been killed sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was when we had him being injured sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is when we had a number of the Muslims fleeing in disarray, leaving from him and just being running away because of how much confusion and terror there was upon that day. And so Allah azza wa jalla says that even despite all of this, some of those people who were the major people of that battlefield, they would become Muslims. From amongst those people who became Muslims was Wahshi. Wahshi was the man who assassinated Hamza radiallahu anhu. He was the one who was hired to go to Hamza and just find him on the day of the Battle of Uhud and to kill him radiallahu anhu arda. That man, that assassin Wahshi, will later on himself become a Muslim. And so a number of those people would become Muslims. So Allah Azza wa Jal is teaching us also that these people that sometimes cause you a great deal of harm, cause you a great deal of difficulty, may at some points be like enemies to you, only Allah knows what the future holds. And maybe some of those people will become extremely close to you. They will have a great deal of affection to you and you towards them, as the Prophet did sallallahu alayhi wa sallam towards the end of his life, for the likes of Abu Sufyan and Khalid ibn Walid radiyallahu anhu. That same Khalid then becomes one of the major leaders and commanders of the Muslim army, radiyallahu an. And the Prophet used to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about him, he is a sword from the swords of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah Azza wa Jal gives guidance to whomsoever He wishes. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is given this lesson here by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore it is a lesson for all of the Muslims. So even if someone is extremely evil, hurtful to you, harming you, you don't control their guidance or misguidance. You don't control their future. You don't control whether their final destination will be in paradise or hellfire. That is something which belongs to Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. And so the Muslim must always remain balanced. And that is why the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the famous hadith, love someone in a balanced way, because maybe one day that person will become your enemy. And when you have enmity towards someone, then be balanced in your enmity, because one day that person may become beloved to you. You don't know how the future will change and what it holds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse 129, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ يَغْفِرُ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَن يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah. He forgives whomsoever He wills. He punishes whomsoever He wills. Indeed, Allah is of forgiving, most merciful. And that is because Allah Azza wa Jal may give guidance to whomsoever He wills. He may punish whomsoever He wills. No one controls who and what receives this except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so these are some of the lessons that we find on this passage. We still have a number of verses left on this page, but we're inshallah ta'ala going to delay them until the next episode, because now Allah Azza wa Jal, seemingly in the middle of this passage of the Battle of Uhud, will give to us a number of other rulings and commands. All of them speak to how the Muslim can remain steadfast in times of difficulty, in times of trial, in times of hardship, the different steps that the believer can take in terms of coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I think it's good to keep those together so that inshallah ta'ala we can take them all together as a single passage inshallah ta'ala in the next episode. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He keeps us all steadfast and He keeps us from harm, and that Allah Azza wa Jal makes us from amongst those people who receive His divine aid and help. بارك الله فيكم وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.